Continuing this morning with the 23rd Psalm, and we're going to read it together again. So if you want to find your pew Bible or take your own Bible, as long as it's on the NIV, I think that would be all right. And we'll read it together again. Perhaps maybe next time we'll see if you learned it sufficiently to quote it, okay? Let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're going to focus on the fifth verse of the 23rd Psalm this morning, which reads, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Suppose someone invited you to a banquet, but when you arrived at the appointed time, nothing was ready. The tables were not set, and as far as you could see, no one was involved in preparing food. How would that make you feel? You would probably think that you came on the wrong day, or maybe you were way too early. You might also think that the one hosting the banquet was either very inefficient or just didn't care. In my lifetime, I have attended many banquets and parties and fellowship dinners, as I'm sure you have. And I would have to say that the ones that I enjoyed the most were those that were carefully planned and where extra care was obviously taken to make them special. In today's scripture, we see that kind of banquet or feast described by the psalmist. Let's take a closer look at what he has to say about it and how it applies to us. First of all, he says, the Lord prepares the table. I can't think of anyone that I would rather have making preparations for me other than the Lord. If the Lord is doing the preparing, we know it will be done in the best possible way, don't we? Why? Because he is able to do it best of all. And secondly, because he cares enough to give the very best. Remember that commercial some time back where it said, if you care enough, you will send the very best. Well, our Heavenly Father cares enough to give us his very best. Why in the world would we want to settle for anything less than? It reminds me of Jesus' words in John 14:2 when he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus was talking about the dwelling place we will have in heaven. And just to think that he is getting it ready for us is both exciting and comforting. Now we've heard that saying that you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. Perhaps that refers to the building materials we make available to Jesus as he prepares a place for us. By our giving, by our acts of love and kindness, and our caring for those in need, we do, in a sense, send it on ahead. I was watching a video last night that someone had sent to me, and it was about a young man on the streets of New York City. And he was walking down the street, and he stopped in front of this homeless man, obvious homeless man, who was sitting there eating a sandwich. And he said, I'm really hungry. Could you give me a bite? And the man said, no, I can't give you any. I need it for myself. So he went on down the street, and there was another man there sitting there eating a sandwich. And he said, could you give me a bite? And the man said, no, I need this for myself. It's all I've got. So he went on down the street, and There's a third man there eating a sandwich, homeless, obviously. And the man stopped in front of him and said, "I'm really very hungry. Could you just share with me a little bit of what you have?" And the man said, "No." He said, I can't share." He said, "This is all I've got to go on." So he went on down the street. And then a little later, two men came up to this obviously homeless man who was sitting there. And they told him, they had a box of pizza in it. And they said, "We've eaten a little bit of this. Would you like to have the rest of it?" And he said, "Yes." And he gave it to him and he started eating it. Well, this man that we talked about earlier came along again. And he sat down beside him. And he said, "Man, I'm really hungry." He said, could you share a little bit of what you have in the box with me?" And the man did. He opened the box and he shared it with him. And then the man sat there and ate it with him a little bit. Then he got up and said, "Well, I have to go now." And he took out his wallet and he gave him a sizable gift and put it in a little cup he had laying there. He said, "Here, I want you to have this." He said, "I appreciate so much that you shared with me." And he left. And as he left, the man was sitting there crying, obviously moved by the generosity of the man. He didn't know. Three people refused. One shared what had been given to him. I wonder what we would do in that situation. I wonder if the quality of the preparations made for us by Jesus are determined by what we send on ahead. Well, I'll let you think about that in the context of different rewards. That isn't what I want to talk about today. That's a whole different sermon I won't get into. But the main point I'm making here is that if the Lord is doing the preparing for us, we can rest assured that it will be good. Isn't that right? Next, the psalmist tells us what the Lord is preparing for us. It is a table. Now, why should a table be so important? Well, obviously, it's not the table itself, but what is on the table. Some commentators believe this concept of the Lord preparing a table is a reference to a feast. Who knows? Maybe it's the feast of the Lamb that was talked about in Revelation. Or maybe it's a feast likened to the one that Jesus told about the parables, a parable of the ones that were invited to a wedding feast. If the Lord prepares a feast for us, that would be something quite marvelous, don't you think? There's a chorus we used to sing that talked about the banqueting table taken from the Song of Solomon. The part that applies here said, "He called me to his banqueting table. His banner over me is love." The idea is that if we have a relationship with the Lord our shepherd, we have a continual feast. Or in other words, he provides for us continually because we are his people. How the Lord provides was one of the problems the Israelites had as they journeyed through the wilderness on their way to the promised land. On several occasions, they complained to the Lord because they felt like he was not meeting all of their needs in the way they wanted them met. Now, we've never done that, have we? No. It prompted a question that was asked. Can the Lord set a table or provide a feast in the wilderness? It was a question that was prompted not by faith, but by doubt. Actually, the Lord did provide for the Israelites by making a way where there seemed to be no way. He provided water, manna, and quail, all in a miraculous way to meet their needs. But that didn't keep the Israelites from complaining. They kept right on griping. And you know what it cost them? It cost them a right to receive the promise of God. We are also reminded of how God provided for the prophet Elijah when he ran off and hid in the wilderness. And when that supply ended, as it did, then God provided or led him to a poor widow woman, and through God's provision, he was cared for along with the widow and her son. to the question, is God able to set a table for His people? The Bible gives to us a resounding yes. He is well able to set a table in the wilderness for His people, to prepare a feast, even in the wilderness. The Lord our shepherd is well able to care for us, in other words. Someone has defined faith with the acrostic, forsaking all, I trust in Him. This describes what Elijah did, what the Lord wanted His people to do, and what He wants us to do. To trust Him to provide. To trust Him to supply all of our needs. To trust Him to take care of us. You know, that might be a good motto for every one of us to have during this new year, 2015. Maybe write it out and put it up somewhere where we can see it every morning when we get up. First thing. Today I will trust in the Lord because I know He is able to prepare a table before me. Today I will trust the Lord. That's better than saying, today I'm going to gripe and complain, and I'm going to question the Lord, and I'm going to say, why me? Why me? Why is this happening to me? Or why don't I have everything I need? Rather to say, today, Father, I'm going to trust You to take care of me. But there's something else the psalmist tells us about this table. He says that the Lord prepares this table in the presence of His enemies. That is, the psalmist's enemies. That seems like a strange thing to say. Maybe he was simply stating the fact that we all have enemies and we can never get away from them completely. So, if we're going to partake of this feast that the Lord provides for us, it may not always be in the most ideal of conditions. It may not be perfect. The point is that even if there are enemies, that does not limit the Lord's ability to provide and should not limit our ability to receive. Someone may protest, well, I don't have any enemies. We might be surprised to learn who all would line up against us if they were given the opportunity. And I've tried my best to get along with people, as no doubt you have. I don't go around trying to make enemies, and neither do you. But listen, if we stand up on our convictions as Christians, we are going to offend someone somewhere. Someone is going to take exception to the fact that we are standing up for what we believe. On top of that, there are those people in the world who hate us simply because we are Americans and because we are Christians. We don't deserve their hatred. We didn't do anything to cause it, but it's there nonetheless. In addition to those people, there is one in particular who hates us and wants to destroy us because we belong to the Lord. The more committed we are to following Jesus, the more committed we are to following Him in our lives, the more intensely He hates us and works against us. However, it's not the enemies that we should focus on, because the Lord our shepherd is able to prepare a table and provide for us in spite of our enemies. In fact, it probably infuriates them even more to see the Lord blessing His people. For you see, that's what the psalmist is really emphasizing. He says, "You anoint my head with oil." That, my friends, is a sign of favor. And we know that grace is God's favor given freely to us, even though we don't earn it or we don't deserve it. He pours out His love and grace into our lives like anointing oil being poured on our heads. We are blessed. We are blessed as a people. He blesses His people daily. He blesses you. He blesses me. And sometimes we lose sight of those blessings. Sometimes we think about the things that we don't have rather than the things that God has provided. This is the extent of that blessing that you receive, that I receive, that we all receive. He says, "My cup overflows." Listen to me very carefully now. There are those people who are satisfied if they only receive a cup that is a quarter or maybe even half full. But in essence, the psalmist says to us, no, don't stop there. Look for the cup to be full. Look for the cup to be overflowing. Expect abundance, for that is what the Lord, our shepherd, wants to provide. In John 10:10, Jesus says, "I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus didn't come here just to give us a pitiful, paltry little amount of life. He didn't give His life. He didn't pour out His blood. He didn't shed His blood. He didn't give His life so that we might just have a little bit of life. That word in the original is peresis, and it means this: excessive, overflowing, surplus, over and above, more than enough, profuse, extraordinary, and more than sufficient. That's abundant life. Life that is filled up to the top and overflowing. That, my friends, is what the Lord wants to provide for us. Over and above, excessive, overflowing, surplus, profuse, extraordinary. That is what Jesus said He came to provide us. So why in the world shouldn't we believe for that and expect that personally? Because the Lord wants to give it to us. Jesus also said that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Every single one of us here today have experienced some of that. Sometimes we get so accustomed to seeing bad things happening that we feel like that's the only way it's always going to be. Nothing ever good is going to happen to me because there's so much bad. We don't dare step out in faith to turn things around, which is what it requires. If the Lord is our shepherd, He will fill our cups with love, joy, peace, and hope. He wants to prove to us that He really cares and that He will take care of us. Remember what the Lord said in Malachi. "Let me prove to you. Let me show you that I'm able to bless you abundantly. Let me prove to you that I will take care of you." That is a matter of faith, isn't it? He will take care of us and give us life that is abundant and eternal. In this new year, 2015, I challenge myself. Let's all pray and believe, not for the least, not for the minimum, but for the most, that our God is able to provide. Will you do that? Not the least, but the most. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to You for this abundant life that You provide through Your Son, Jesus. Thank You for the table that You've set for us, the banqueting table, filled with a feast. You want us to partake of that, Father, every single day. So help us, Lord. Help us to look to You, to trust in You, to believe, and to expect good things. Father, we know that You're able to do that. And we know that You love us personally. So help us to receive by faith. In Jesus' name.